Commerce Department is on the second phase of its push to move some human resources function out of the department and into a shared services provider. That means many Commerce HR employees will no longer spend their days doing transactional human resources work. Instead, they'll need some of the finer points of strategic HR. Kevin Mahoney is the Chief Human Capital Officer at Commerce. He tells Federal News Radio's Nicole Grisco what the next steps are to retool his HR office and his workforce.
Well, like many other agencies, we've had difficulty in filling jobs in a timely manner. We've had difficulty in purchasing things in a timely manner. Some of our IT systems haven't quite met, you know, the needs of the agency. So a couple of years ago, we started a fairly ambitious project, look at those transactions in a lot of detail and decide what might be candidates for a shared service environment and what aren't. So with respect to human resources, one of the things we found out was we spend almost 35 to 40% of our time answering questions on transactions that come through the HR shop. And that's a lot of time that could be spent being more strategic, helping our customers solve their problems in a more creative way. And so when we took a look at how we were spending our time and what we were doing, we came to the decision that it was best to take those transactional activities, give them to a vendor to do, and then create an organization that would focus on the strategic side of it. And again, you know, we've been about 2.5 years into this project. We probably have another couple of years to go before it's fully implemented, but we're on pace to get this done. And I think it will have a huge impact on how we do HR in the federal government.
And what kind of impact does that leave for your existing employees? Does that mean different training, different maybe opportunities for them to move into maybe even different jobs?
Well, there's no question that people will have different jobs. And that was part of the competency assessment that we did, was to understand what people's strengths are and where there were training opportunities for them. The next phase of this will be to sit down with them and identify new jobs for them in this new organization. When we started this journey, we made a commitment to everybody that everybody would have a job when this was finally settled. And we're getting pretty close to creating that next organization. We've concentrated on the transactional side. Now we're concentrating on the strategic side.
And would that mean that some of these employees who may have done some of this transactional work, I would assume they'd have to learn maybe new skill sets?
In all probability, people will be in jobs that might feel a little different to them. But there's still a body of knowledge that applies whether you're doing strategic work or transactional work, and that will be helpful to people. But by and large, you know, we'll be looking to broaden people's skills in partnering with their customers to solve their problems. And that does feel different to people.
Yeah, some of the maybe training that might be involved with this, will that come from you? Will that come from somewhere else? Or are you working with OPM? How does that work?
Well, again, we're in the process of figuring that out right now. And, you know, a big part of being in a more strategic conversation with customers is, you know, to actually have sat down and done it. So there's a practical experience aspect to this that you can't learn through training. But I would envision that we'll partner with OPM or another vendor to do some courses around data analytics data analysis that will be able to help us use all the data that we collect so that we can have a different conversation with our customers.
One thing you mentioned in there that I think you first started off with was the idea of merit systems principles, and sometimes it can be an excuse to not do something when oftentimes you can use it as an opportunity. Can you discuss that a little bit more?
I think if you look at the merit system principles themselves, every one of those merit system principles really is an indicator to someone of why you would want to work for an organization. There's nothing about them that says, you know, don't come here. And yet I find sometimes when, you know, we're trying to make a decision on some facet of human resources that people will pull the merit system principles out and says, well, it says here you can't do this. And I think that stops us from being creative and innovative from time to time.
And you mentioned a few ways that you're trying to be creative and use direct hiring flexibilities and different things like that. Can you tell us a little bit more about what you're doing in that area?
Sure. What I mentioned at the panel discussion had to do with an alternative personnel system and how we use alternative personnel systems. And those systems come into existence by waiving parts of Title V. And when they become permanent, those parts of Title V are still waived. So it gives me an opportunity to be a little bit creative in how we go about using the flexibilities that an alternative personnel system provides us for. Now, having said that, it's really important to understand that it doesn't mean that you ignore all the things that you have to do in order to request direct hire authority. So it just becomes incumbent upon me to make sure that we're adhering to the regulations in a way that keep us in concert with the law. But again, it's something I don't have to go to OPM for permission for, so it eliminates a discussion.
I think that's been a push from OPM this past year, is encouraging people to take a look at what resources they already have and find ways to use them differently. Can you comment on that idea and maybe how you're, you know, using that?
Well, I have seen a change in OPM's thinking about many of the things that that they have oversight responsibility for. And I think they've become much more open to agencies consulting with them and solving their problems in a much more creative fashion. And so I think OPM is taking steps in the right direction, because they do recognize that, you know, this is not a one-size-fits-all organization, and we all do things a little bit differently and have different needs, and one regulation or one law can be interpreted in many different ways, and they're open to that flexibility. So I think I've seen, you know, a lot of improvement from OPM in that respect.
And anything else that your office is doing? You know, I know recruitment and that sort of thing is a huge topic this year, especially, but anything that you might want to mention that your office has been working on?
Well, right now, mostly we're getting ready for transition and for the next administration to come in. So it's a pretty exciting time, I think, whenever the administration changes and all the things you have to look forward to. So we're spending a lot of our time doing that right now. You know, who knows what the future will hold in terms of a new administration, but we continue to work on all the things that we've worked on in the past, and hopefully we'll continue to work on in the future.
That's Kevin Mahoney, Chief Human Capital Officer at the Commerce Department, speaking with Federal News Radio's Nicola Grisco. You can find her story and this interview linked at federalnewsradio.com.